This is the Publix Radio, 89.3 FM. I'm Chuck Hinman, and James Baumgartner is with me this morning for Artscape.
Good morning, Chuck. Last week, the City of Providence held a forum called I Love the Nightlife. It was with a group of people who work in the nighttime economy. That's musicians, dance clubs, bars, concert venues. Shane Shapiro spoke at the event. He's the founder and CEO of Sound Diplomacy. They work with cities to create strategies around music and the nighttime economy. Shane Shapiro, thanks for joining me this morning.
Cheers. Thanks for having me.
Tell me, what is a music strategy for a city?
A music strategy for a city is a comprehensive assessment of the role of music across how a city governs itself, how a city thinks about itself, how a city measures itself. So we look at it, A, from a policy perspective. So is a city recognizing the value of music economically, socially, and culturally? So i.e., has it added up the value of it? Does it know how much it's worth? Does it know where it is? Does it know what it is? And then by understanding where it is and how much it's worth, then we can understand where the strengths are, but also where the potential deficiencies are. And they tend to focus on what we call workforce development or job creation, tourism, and equity and education. You know, cities do transportation strategies, right, to measure how to get people from A to B. The garbage or rubbish, as I call it in the UK, is picked up once a week or once every 2 weeks as a strategy around that. Like anything that is seen as having value to the community, there tends to be a strategy around how to maximize it, how to organize it, how to run it. But music tends to fall towards other strategies. So whether it's planning and building codes that impact music venues when there's new developments nearby, or it's noise, or it's public assembly, or, you know, whatever, public health. There's a number of different things that fall under city governance that impact music, but there isn't a music policy. So the whole point of a music strategy or music policy is for a city to think deliberately and intentionally about the role of music. It's not to say we need a venue in every corner or a festival in every corner. It's none of that. But through the process and the work that we do, if we do it right, then people start to recognize the value to them. And it hopefully lifts everybody up because that's the whole point of music.
I saw you talk about music as infrastructure. What did you mean by that?
Infrastructure are things that we use all the time that we tend not to think about. Like we cross that bridge without understanding all the work that goes into building it and maintaining it. We drink a bottle of water without understanding the filtration and sanitation and so on and so forth that led to that happening. Music is exactly the same way. So, you know, when we hear that song that moves us, we're not thinking about everything that went into that song. And I also believe that music is part and parcel of the infrastructure of what makes a place worth living in. And it requires its own infrastructure to survive and succeed and so on. And if we don't think about that, or what would be the supply chain around it, then what mechanisms are we going to have to grow it and to protect it? And so I liken, you know, music as the same thing as, yeah, as, you know, cycle lanes. Like, they're important. We need them. And we need to build them into our communities. We say we need to build it in rather than bolt it on.
What do you look for in a successful venue? What do you look for what makes a venue a good part of a city's music ecosystem?
I think there's something to be said about looking at the traditional functions of a community center. You know, a place that is recognized by the community as a center of that community. They are, you know, they prioritize or have music as part of their DNA, but they're not entirely about music. They're about bringing people together to feel safe, feel welcome. Those were the places that I discovered who I was when I was growing up, right? We all did, right? It's you know, I would be a very different person if it wasn't for going to a couple venues in my hometown in Canada and you know, seeing bands. So that's what I see. And they're just so incredibly important. And they mean so many different things to so many people. So to some people, they could be an opera house. To some, they could be the back room of a Caribbean restaurant. Like, I don't care. I feel that they all need to be understood and respected as they are. For me, it was a grungy indie venue, but that was for me. That doesn't mean that, and we have to understand that the word music venue and the word nightclub mean different things to different people. And we have to be a little bit more open-minded collectively about what they are and what they can be. I'm new to Rhode Island. I've been here before, but I didn't spend any time here. I came as a tourist and saw the big houses and ate some clams, and both wonderful. But what I recognize here is there's a really, really unique opportunity to become a talent development hotspot. Is, you know, the place is you're close to lots of other places. The cost of living is lower than some of your neighbors. It's easy to get around. And there's a real opportunity to define what the future Rhode Island's going to be. And we have to understand that in 10, 20 years' time, you know, we're going to lose millions of call center jobs. You know, retail is struggling. We have to look at what kind of jobs are we going to have. And we're going to have jobs that involve our hands or our mind in relation to technology, innovation, and creativity. And that is it. Those will be our jobs. We have to focus our education, our outreach, our structure, and our policy to prioritize those jobs. And one of the things that cuts through everything is music. It's not about everyone being a musician. It's not about everyone working in the music industry. We always welcome more people, but not everyone. No, it's about music having a role in the economic, social, and cultural development of Rhode Island. But it requires a deliberate and intentional approach to recognizing the value of these things and then planning for them. And if you do that, then Rhode Island will have a really strong future of job creation, of increased tourism, and I promise people will get along more. And as you say, it's really, really hard to attack someone when you're playing guitar or singing. Really difficult. Give it a go. It's hard. So that's, we want to get more people singing and playing guitar and rapping and scratching, because when they're doing that, that's what they're doing.
So, Chuck, you've got a way that people can participate in the nighttime economy of New Bedford this weekend, right?
That's right. In New Bedford on Saturday, the arts organization Culture Park presents its 17th annual Short Plays Marathon. It's at the New Bedford Whaling Museum Theater. It starts at 2 p.m., runs until around 10 p.m.
That is a marathon. Reminds me of the Moby Dick Marathon that they also do in New Bedford.
I know. I talked to Culture Park's artistic director, Patricia Thomas, and that was my first question.
What is it about marathons and New Bedford?
I don't know. It's a way to present a lot of plays, and they're all script in hand, staged readings. 25 plays throughout the day, 2 to 5 in the afternoon, and 7 to 10, give or take, 15 minutes in the evening.
And Thomas says they're collaborating this year with the worldwide group Climate Change Theater Action to present some short plays about climate change.
We've selected 4 plays from Climate Change Theater Action, and we're going to present them. We also have a couple of plays, new plays by local and regional folks that have a climate change theme.
And she says some playwrights will be at the event to do some audience Q&A during the marathon.
And if you're up for a marathon film experience, Magic Lantern Cinema is showing Shatan Tango, or Satan's Tango, at the Granoff Center at Brown, starting at 11 a.m. on Friday and going until 8 p.m. It was made in 1994 and follows a group of collective farmers after the fall of communism in Hungary. So the film is 7 hours long,
wow.
But there will be multiple intermissions, and they're providing food during the breaks.
Well, it's not music, but I think that theater by candlelight qualifies as the nighttime economy. The Contemporary Theater Company in Wakefield, Rhode Island, is performing Shakespeare's Hamlet using only candles to light the stage.
Just like they performed in Shakespeare's days.
They'll have candles on platforms on the sides of the stage, and the fire marshal will be on hand to make sure that everything is safe.
And if you want to see some music infrastructure in action, you can head to the Columbus Theater in Providence to see Robin Hitchcock perform at 8 p.m. on Saturday.
We'll end with music by Robin Hitchcock. We have information and links for all of the events that we talked about at thepublicsradio.org/arts.
And let us know about your event at that same address, thepublicsradio.org/ARTS.